Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
There are fewer than 2 months to go until the fall election, and last night, for the first time, all four gubernatorial candidates sat in front of a television audience to try and convince voters to choose them in November. Republican Charlie Baker is chasing incumbent Democratic Governor Deval Patrick in the polls, but the race is a tight one, with independent Tim Cahill holding a small but significant portion of potential voters. For an hour on WBZ-TV, Patrick, Baker, Cahill, and Green Rainbow candidate Jill Stein debated taxes, health care, the budget, and immigration. Here to talk about last night's debate is our Republican analyst Jack Clancy. Hi, Jack.
Hi, thanks, David.
And also our Democratic analyst Susan Tracy, a former state rep and president of the Strategy Group. Susan Tracy, welcome back to Radio Boston. Let's start with first impressions of last night. And I want to actually go straight to some sound from the debate for those who missed it, because the conversation kicked off with jobs, which quickly moved into a back and forth over the deficit. And when Patrick was describing the difficulty of balancing the budget, he said he'd met a woman in Chelmsford who wanted tax cuts, but who didn't want to see that money come out of education or health care or local aid. Let's listen to that debate.
I completely reject the governor and the governor's point of view that there's nothing left to cut in state government, that it's 100% efficient.
That.
That's exactly what you told that lady in Chelmsford. Get rid of the Pacheco law. Take a run at consolidating state agencies. Clean up some of the administrative duplication.
First of all, Charlie.
Stuff that I've talked about that no one else is talking
Charlie,
about.
Charlie, let's talk
That's
about
how you get there.
Let's talk about results. All right, we've done more consolidation in this administration than any administration, including the one you served in. We're getting
name
the...
Name one.
I'll name three. We just combined three of the agencies that are involved in economic development because we don't need that unnecessary duplication. We moved the housing agency into mass development. That's just one example, and there are many.
That is so small on the margin,
one at a time, please.
I mean, I'm talking about results. You talked about the pension system. Tim has talked about the pension system. We're the only ones who actually got it done. And we ended abuse in the pension
system
on account of
it. That was a bunt. We should be swinging away.
All right.
We still have a $22 billion
unfunded
liability.
Let me just say, you call it a bunt. You've never even swung at the ball.
Okay, go ahead.
That's pretty
interesting. You know what? I think I'll let these two guys fight it out.
Okay, very briefly. We have to break.
And I'll just say, this is the kind of bickering that we've come to expect from business as usual on Beacon Hill. We hear a Democrat version. We hear a Republican version. And over the years, things don't change. And I want to point out one thing, which is that we can raise revenue fairly at the same time that we give a break to the people who are being overburdened.
I don't think this is bickering. People have a choice in about 60 days about whether they think Massachusetts is going in the right direction or not.
I was in this debate 8 years ago, and I'll tell you the debate hasn't changed.
Speaking of
okay, so that was a big chunk of tape to listen to, but I think it was worth hearing because it shows you've got Baker and Patrick both very animated, you've got Cahill checking out, basically, and you've got Stein saying she's heard it all before. But before we discuss those dynamics, let's talk about the actual issue at hand. Jack Clancy, our Republican analyst, how has Patrick performed fiscally as an administrator? Because Charlie Baker charges he's done a lousy job.
I think it's obvious that he hasn't done well. I think what Charlie pointed out several times is we have a $2 billion deficit going into next year for whoever wins this race. And it's probably be a lot larger had it not been for a great deal of federal stimulus money. Had it not been for maybe as much as $400 or $500 million from the Race to the Top program, and using the rainy day funds, I think Charlie mentioned that as well. And so it's hard to say that fiscally, Governor Patrick has done well. I think it's going to be his biggest problem to defend over the next 8 weeks.
So it sounds like you give Charlie Baker's claim some credence. And Susan Tracy, what's your take on the governor's fiscal performance?
You know, we are in the worst fiscal time that I think anyone listening to the show or any one of us sitting here ever remembers. And I think it is pretty remarkable the stewardship and leadership that the governor has done through that time. You know, yes, he's used rainy day funds as part of that, but he's also reduced the workforce by 3,000 people. He's also cut $4 billion out of the budget. He's also created, I think, a level of stability in the Commonwealth that doesn't exist in many other states throughout the country. And I think we should all feel pretty good. I see the glasses half full, not half empty. It's pretty impressive to me what he's been able to do in the times that we're in.
And that certainly is what he repeatedly says. In the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression, he's trying to do a responsible mix of cutting taxes, raising taxes, cutting spending, a little of both. So then, Susan Tracy, who came out looking good in this larger exchange? Anyone?
Well, I think is without anyone drawing blood against the governor, which I don't think anyone did, I think the person who's ahead is always the victor in these kind of debates. So I don't think that Charlie Baker or Stein or Cahill drew blood against the governor. So you'd have to say that he wins if nothing changes if you're in the lead.
Jack Clancy, Cahill said, I quote, "I think I'll let these two guys fight it out." He just steps back. He seems to be hoping that if Baker and Patrick attack each other, then they'll hurt each other and that will benefit him. Is that a good strategy for Tim Cahill?
I guess it's a strategy worth trying. I'm not sure it will necessarily help him. I don't see a strategy or a scenario that could help him short of a very big faux pas on either of the Democrat or the Republican candidates. I think Tim needs to be working harder at identifying who he is. I think there were at least a couple of times during the debate last night that he stepped back and said, "I'll let these guys fight it out." That's not a proactive step. That's a passive step. And I'm not sure anybody wants to elect a governor who's passive.
And he was relegated to the sidelines quite a bit, sort of fighting for airtime. And then when he did speak up, oftentimes there weren't very clear policy ideas. So
I'm not sure. He was relegated toward the latter part of the debate. I think John Keller did a fantastic job, actually. He was like a traffic cop.
At umpiring.
In a very busy intersection, waving people through. He did a great job.
And
he
was an easygoing crudum.
He sure was. He was tossing out 10 seconds here and 15 seconds there and really tried to balance it well. Toward the tail end, when the feistiness came out, I think it was difficult for him to really balance it and take it away from the two of them because they were finally having an interesting part of the debate, and I think Jill did suffer from that. Not sure Tim did. I think he backed out himself a couple of times, if I recall, but Jill did suffer, and then John made an attempt at the end to try to get her back involved. I think if anybody benefited from this, I think it's Jill Stein. We all know that Jill Stein will not be the next governor, but I think if you look at the last poll, and she might have been 3 or 4 percentage points.
I think so, yeah.
I think it's very likely that, I don't know, for me, I must have set the bar very low because I was very pleased with the way she handled herself. I remember the 8 years ago, as she mentioned, when she was more raw. I think when you think of a party that's called the Green Rainbow Party, you expect maybe an earthy, crunchy, moonbeamy kind of style. And she came out a little more mainstream. She started talking about cutting costs and not raising taxes, although as she went on, we found out kind of rarely where she came from because she started talking about entitlements and then raising taxes and tax the rich. But she did well.
Listeners, what did you think of last night's debate? Who do you think came out on top? Did anyone come out on top? And did you learn anything last night about differences between the candidates? Also, what do candidates need to do to win your vote between now and November? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's talk about the big dig. In a notable change in tone, the candidates were actually somewhat confrontational last night. They were feistier than we've heard them before. Here's Patrick challenging Baker on his role in the big dig.
The problem with the big dig is that it is still a drag. It is a great big albatross around the necks of the people of the Commonwealth, and we are dealing with it today. And Charlie, you talk about your role as a diminished role or a minimus role.
No,
the financing plan.
I've talked about my role exactly as it was, which was to create a plan to fund that shortfall.
And
$1.5 billion.
And today you talk
about... And that's what we did. And that's exactly the same plan, Governor, that you used
and
to
that's
build
also,
your
that's
bridge.
Also wrong. The difference is that we're not starving infrastructure needs everywhere else in order to fund the accelerated bridge
Just
program.
Just out of curiosity.
We're dealing with the accelerated
bridge. How much has the state of Massachusetts spent on statewide road and bridge and local road and bridge programs over the course of the past 10 years? Forget the big deal.
I don't know about the last 10 years. I can tell you.
$13 billion.
I can tell
that
you.
That does not exactly sound like starvation diet.
I can tell you that we have doubled the investment in our infrastructure since I've been in office because it had been ignored for 20
Governor,
years.
Every administration
Susan Tracy, how relevant is Baker's big dig history here? Do you think voters even care?
In general, I think reaching to the past in these debates doesn't serve anybody's purposes. I think elections are about the present and the future. So, while I certainly understand it as an issue, and I do think, you know, it's a little cute for Charlie Baker to distance himself from it. I'd advise him to do the same if I was advising. And it's probably a little cute for Governor Patrick to make him wear the whole thing. In reality, do I think the number of people who are going to vote on this race based upon the big dig is a large number? I really don't. I think, again, it's about the present. It's about the future. And who do people think can lead? I thought Baker... It was interesting sort of going to Jack's point about Jill Stein. I think Baker kept trying to pivot off of both Cahill and Stein and say, yes, I agree with you. If you're not happy with the direction we're going in, I'm the alternative. I think the problem with that from a strategic perspective is if I'm watching that debate and I'm not happy with the direction Deval Patrick is going in, I see three people I can choose to change that direction. And I think if, you know, to your point, I thought Jill Stein came off a lot more moderate than most people would agree. So in some ways, she becomes an option for people who you might not think she'd be an option for.
Jack Clancy, our Republican analyst, to Governor Patrick's point, do you think that Baker actually played a fairly large role in financing that project? You know, Baker, of course, says, look, it was only 10% of the budget. Many people were involved over many years. My role was minor. But is it actually futile for Baker to try to distance himself from his big dig history because it was actually a large role? What's your thought on that?
I think it's clearly he has to do something about distancing himself from them because Cahill also brought that up in at one point. So it's as if Deval and Tim huddled up on this one. They clearly want to hang that albatross around his neck about the big dig, and I'm not sure it's fair to do so. If it's true, the numbers that Charlie Baker's talking about, $1.5 billion refinancing, I'd say that is a minimus role, as Governor Patrick would say. He should distance himself, though. He shouldn't leave that lingering in the air over the next few weeks or 2 months and allow people to believe that there is a connection that's stronger than it truly is.
So better for him if it just goes away or recedes into the background.
I think he should actually come forth and make it clearer that he's not responsible for the big dig.
We've been talking mostly about Deval and Deval Patrick and Charlie Baker, but we have a caller, Mark from Whitman, who has a thought about Tim Cahill. Hi, Mark.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Good. So you listened last night?
Yes, I did. I watched it. I was very impressed with Mr. Cahill.
Why?
I think it is, as your person there said, people are tired of the bickering between Democrats and Republicans. I'm looking for someone who can lead. I'm unemployed. Cahill seems to be a fresh face. He seems to have answers, whereas the other two, you know, I'd prefer to vote for Jill Stein than the other two. They just seem to be business as usual. And for someone in my position who's out of work and been out of work for a while, you're looking for answers. You're not looking for negative politics, and that seems to be what they seem to be best at.
So, Mark, it sounds like you think Cahill might be the guy who could help you get a job back. Let's actually listen to Cahill. Here is Cahill talking about immigration.
I think it's wrong for any illegal citizen of the state of Massachusetts or of the country to get public benefits, whether it's housing benefits, whether it's reduced college tuition benefits, whether it is driver's license.
Cahill went on to say that state and local police should be given tools to check immigration status, mm-hmm. obviously a hot issue nationally. Patrick and Stein both said immigration was a federal issue, so they sort of passed that buck. But here's Baker's response.
This is another example of the difference between Tim the treasurer and Tim the candidate. When Tim was the treasurer, he endorsed the governor when the governor ran for election 4 years ago, knowing full well that the governor supported in-state tuition for illegal immigrants and supported driver's licenses as well.
As does law enforcement.
That's, of course, Governor Patrick coming up at the end. Jack Clancy, what do you think? Is Cahill making a calculated move to the right on immigration to pull in the conservative votes he needs to draw from Charlie Baker?
Well, I think you're absolutely right on that. I think if there are probably several third rails in politics these days. Immigration may be one of them. It's tough to get on the right side of it, but the best side of it here in an even bluest of blue Massachusetts is probably the side that says we need to do something about immigration. And I think that's where he's headed. That's where he's trying to make his name, is we need to clear out the immigration problems by identifying immigrants and basically putting them in jail, returning to their country, doing something of that sort. It seems to work. It seems to, the polls seem to say that's what most people believe.
Susan Tracy, our Democratic analyst, anything you want to add on immigration?
I actually agree with you. It is the third rail on this issue, and it was interesting that it ended on that note, and I don't think anyone's position surprised me, but I think Cahill, you are right, is trying to stake out a real serious turf on that third rail issue.
So we have agreement there.
Yes.
Let's move on to health care, obviously another huge issue. Here's Governor Patrick on health care.
Health care costs are the single biggest concern of businesses, is what I hear everywhere. And you've been at the center of that. You've raised premiums 150%.
You're in charge of the health care.
Excuse me.
You've raised premiums 150%. And guess who pays those premiums? Working families, small businesses in large, and state government.
Go ahead briefly, then these other two need a chance.
Harvard Pilgrim grew by 45% over the last 7 years I was there because our premiums were priced competitively. But there were a lot of issues with regard to the rules, regs, and requirements that haven't solved the healthcare problem in Massachusetts, and most of those rest with state government.
Jack Clancy, this is another potential liability for Charlie Baker. He's a former healthcare executive. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, Patrick as governor means he's also closely connected to the healthcare issue. And it's an issue that everyone in Massachusetts can relate to. There's very few of us who haven't been affected by rising premiums, rising copays. But who do you think is more vulnerable on the issue of rising healthcare costs? Is it Baker or is it Patrick?
I actually think it may be Charlie Baker. I think we've demonized the corporate world, if you will. Making a profit is considered a bad thing. And he comes from the private sector, and not only the private sector, but the healthcare private sector, where we all have to agree that premiums have risen dramatically. And he was indeed part of that, and he needs to explain himself. Part of the problem with a one-hour debate, as we had last night with four candidates who have to each get equal time, is that they don't get a chance to drill down a bit. And Charlie announced, I think, early on that I have many reasons, many ideas of how to lower the cost of health care. And he never really got to do it. Whether he really had this list and wanted to go through it or not, I don't know. But he certainly didn't go through it and didn't have the time to do so. So he's going to have to explain himself what he means when he's going to lower the cost of health care. I mean, he certainly has the expertise for it, and if he can bring us that, I'm sure we'd all love to see it.
And Susan Tracy, does Deval Patrick see an opportunity here, and can we expect to see him hammer Charlie Baker more and more about rising health care premiums?
Absolutely. I think that I would not want to be a health care exec. You know, all you have to do is trace the increases in premiums at Harvard Pilgrim from the time he was there till the time he left and find a few people who were denied claims or denied service. And, you know, I wouldn't want to have that be what I carried into my gubernatorial run.
Susan Tracy, do you think that last night we finally saw sharp differences among candidates for the first time? Do we come away with a clear sense of their philosophies, their track records?
I don't know if we saw sharp differences, but I feel like you start to see where everybody sees their path to move forward in. You know, the governor obviously is trying to say I had a great record in a tough time. Charlie Baker is trying to say, you know, the glass is half empty. This is horrible. I can do a better job if you're happy. You know, stick with what you got. But, you know, I think change is in the offing. And, you know, Tim Cahill is, I'm not either of them. And Jill Stein actually has, I think, some credibility, not enough to win, to say, I'm really the most different of this. I've never worked on Beacon Hill.
And Jack Clancy, in the little time we have left, what do you think the candidates need to do to shake up the race and try to widen the gap in the polling numbers?
I think last night Charlie Baker may have left that room thinking he missed some opportunities.
Ah.
I think he may be like a fisherman who pulls the fish out of the water, gets it on the deck, and it's flopping around and it flops back in the water. I think he might have had some opportunities to pin Deval on some issues, and he never really was able to do so. And I think he has to do that. He's got to pin some of these negative issues about employment on Deval Patrick.
Republican analyst Jack Clancy, thanks for your thoughts. And Democratic analyst Susan Tracy, thank you for yours
thanks.
Too. Thanks to both of you for coming into the studio.
Thank you.
After a break, the outgoing head of MIT's Media Lab declares an innovation crisis in America.
I think we haven't got a formula right now for saying how can we invest in research that doesn't have a particular direction.
I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back.